Phillips and Harold Bride began to send messages for help. Their message was CQD. Come quick, danger. At first, Phillips and Bride weren't worried. They even made jokes as they worked. "You'll see your first iceberg," said Phillips with a laugh. "The Americans will enjoy it," answered Bride. "They all like to have ice in their drinks." The first replies came from ships that were too far away. Then Phillips heard from the Carpathia. The ship was traveling from New York to the Mediterranean. The Carpathia's radio operator, Cyril Evans, couldn't hide his surprise. He immediately told Arthur Rostron, the captain of the Carpathia. Then he called the Titanic again. The Carpathia was turning around. It was coming to help. But there was a problem. The Carpathia was about 93 kilometers, 58 miles, away. It could reach the Titanic in 4 hours. That was too long. The Titanic had less than 2 hours. Now Phillips and Bride understood the danger. They continued to send messages, hoping to find a closer ship. The Titanic was becoming noisier, and their job became harder and harder. As they worked, Phillips and Bride started sending the new help message, SOS. The Titanic was the first ship that sent an SOS message. It was quicker and easier to send. Morse code, SOS. Morse code, CQD. The two men bravely stayed in the room until it was almost the end. Their last message was sent at 2:17 a.m. Outside on the deck, hope was growing. Captain Smith and Fourth Officer Boxall could see the lights of a ship that was only 9.5 to 16 kilometers, 6 to 10 miles, away. The crew tried to send a message to the ship with a light. Then, at 12:45 a.m., they began to send rockets high into the dark sky. They sent a rocket every 5 minutes. At first, the ship seemed to be coming closer. But then its lights disappeared. Hopes of help for the Titanic disappeared with them. What was the ship that was so close? Why didn't it help? Some people think that it was the Californian. In fact, the crew of the Californian did see lights in the sky and the lights of a ship. But the ship seemed quite small to them. When they tried to send a message to it, there was no answer. Did the officers on the Titanic see a different ship? More and more people today think that it was a Norwegian fishing boat. Why didn't it help? Maybe it was breaking the law by being in the area. Well, boys, do your best. After 1 o'clock on the morning of April 15th, the Titanic's front end was sinking fast. The band still played and the lights were on, but everyone knew what was happening. and there were few lifeboats left. A 14 or 15-year-old boy tried to hide on a lifeboat. The ship's officer pointed a gun at him. "Be a man," he said. The boy left the lifeboat. When one lifeboat hit the water, its ropes were still joined to the ship. Before it could get away, another lifeboat began to come down on top of it. Luckily, a crewman cut the ropes with a knife in time. Was it true? Many people believe that the third-class passengers were kept away from the boat decks. It is true that many of these passengers lost their lives. Some of the crew did try to help the third-class passengers to the boats. The job wasn't easy. Passengers had to go up the ship's many decks. Many of them didn't speak English. They didn't understand the danger. Some refused to follow the crew and stayed on their deck. Some doors were locked by the crew. Nobody really knows why. Were they following orders? Were they just afraid? But women and children from third class were sent to the boat deck. The most crowded lifeboat left at 1:25 a.m., with 70 people in it. Most of them were women and children from third class. But the men were still kept away from the boat deck. When they reached it at last, it was too late. Almost all the lifeboats were gone. By 2 o'clock, the water was just below the boat deck. When the crew were preparing the next lifeboat, a crowd tried to climb into it. Second Officer Lightoller stopped them by waving his gun. The crew made a wall with their bodies while women and children got into the boat. Now only 2 small lifeboats were left. Each boat could hold 47 people. They were still tied to a roof on the deck. While the crew tried to free these last boats, Captain Smith shouted to them, "Well, boys, do your best for the women and children." Then he told them to save themselves. There were still more than 1,500 people on the ship. Many of them looked for ways to survive. Others prepared to die. First-class passenger Benjamin Guggenheim came on deck in his dinner suit. "We've dressed up in our best and are prepared to go down like gentlemen," he said. At around 2:10 a.m., Wallace Hartley told the musicians in his band to save themselves. All 8 musicians chose to stay with Hartley, and they played a final song together. Suddenly, the front of the ship moved more quickly down into the water. A big wave began to move up the boat deck. The end was here. A Passenger's Story, Part 2.
"I can't believe that the band is still playing."
"Jack!"
"Milton, what have you done to this ship?"
"This is serious, Jack. They're putting women and children into the lifeboats. Come this way."
Then,
"There are too many people."
"Where are my parents? I can't see them."
The friends watched as lifeboat after lifeboat left. Soon, the end was near.
Look! He's tying chairs together! Climb up here! This is it, Jack. Good luck!
Continues.